Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to you again on this Ascension Sunday. It's great that you can join with us today. Everything you need will be on the screen or along with the service sheet if you've downloaded that. A little bit later on, we will be hearing from Piers as he takes us through the next bit of Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be praying together, we'll be singing together, but we're going to begin by reading some words from Psalm 34. This is a psalm that picks up some of the themes that we'll be thinking about a little bit later on as we look at Hebrews chapter 11. So do join with me in the words of Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Wonderful words there from Psalm 34, words of King David. And as I say, we'll be thinking more about some of those themes a little bit later. We'll also be praying together, and Cindy will be leading us in our prayers. But we're now going to sing together. It's a song that reminds us on this Ascension Sunday that Jesus is King. A few weeks ago now, we looked at the beginning of Hebrews. And in chapter 1 and verse 3, we read this about the Lord Jesus. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. It's a reminder that the Lord Jesus is glorious and he rules as King, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Jesus is our King, and that is always worth singing about. So do join with me in the words of our first song, which this week, as a special one-off, is brought to us by some of the musicians at Arborfield Church. The Splendour of the King.
Good morning. I'm Cindy Barson and I will be leading our prayers today. So let us join together in the confession taken from Psalm 51. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today we remember that Jesus left his disciples and his earthly home and ascended to his Father in heaven. We thank you, Lord, and give you praise for your promises to rescue us, for sending your only Son, so that all who believe in him will have eternal life with you in heaven. Amen. God of all hope, we call on you to hear our prayers for those still living in fear of this virus, for the families grieving for loved ones, for the lonely and isolated. Lord, may your Spirit give us all a sense of calmness and peace in these uncertain times. As we meet virtually, separate yet united as the body of your church, help us always to hold fast to the truth, see the good in others, and remember that nothing, not even this pandemic, can separate us from your love. Amen. We pray for the government as they have to make difficult decisions to begin the process of easing the lockdown. Lord, we pray for unity across all political parties, that they would work together for the good of the nation. And we continue to lift to you all the medical staff, carers, scientists and researchers as they work tirelessly for the benefit of all those affected by COVID-19. Amen. And finally, we pray for ourselves. We ask for your blessing on Roger and Ross Stanley as they wait for Roger to go into hospital for heart surgery next week. Be with them, Lord, at this difficult and anxious time. And we pray for the skill of the cardiac team that they are able to restore Roger to full health. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And Lord, we do thank you for all the kindness of strangers, for our neighbours, friends and loved ones, looking out for each other and recognising our shared vulnerability. May your love that never ends be our comfort, strength and guide for the well-being of all and to the glory of God. Amen. And now let us join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Will we or won't we? That's a question some of you have been thinking a lot about this last week as you consider whether to send your children back to school after the half-term break. It raises all sorts of fears. Fears that if you do send them back, will they be carriers of COVID and bring that back into the home and you'll get infected. But fears equally if you keep them at home for their continuing education. Some of you have been talking about social fear around this whole issue. That is the fear of how your friends will react to the decision you make if that is different to theirs, because there's so much heat around this subject. For those amongst us who are elderly and maybe have underlying health conditions, when lockdown restrictions become eased, we fear the impact on our own health as we begin to have contact with people. There's fears around the whole issue of our finances. What will the impact be in the next 6 months or a year? Both personally and as a nation, What does the future hold? We fear that. We have no idea what the landscape will look like in a year or two's time. Perhaps our greatest fear for some of us is when we wake in the middle of the night and wonder that if we were to catch COVID and to die, that fear of dying. So these are difficult times in which we live, all sorts of fears bubbling around underneath the surface. We're going to look this morning at someone who lived in difficult times, not because of sickness, but because of the culture in which he lived. The Bible describes that culture as wicked and evil, so much so that God would soon act in judgment against it and declare that he would wipe the entire human race from the face of the earth, except for one family, a really, really serious judgment. But before that happens, we're going to think about one man, the man Enoch. The Bible says very little about Enoch. We find a bit in Genesis chapter 5, and it tells us in Genesis chapter 5 the most astonishing fact that Enoch lived for 365 years. That is an astonishing long time. If he had been alive today, he would have been born in 1655. But what's really interesting is when the book of Hebrews in the New Testament comes to comment on Enoch, it says something, it doesn't bear any make any reference to his age, but actually tells us an even more astonishing fact. And we're going to hear that read now.
Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Enoch did not experience death because God had taken him away. Whoa, we think, what's going on here? There's only one other person recorded in the Bible who did not die, and that's Elijah. Of him we read, chariots of fire came down from heaven, gathered him up and took him up in a whirlwind. Is that what happened to Enoch? Was he walking along the road and suddenly he was gone? We could speculate forever on what happened. The Bible doesn't tell us. What the Bible does tell us is two things about Enoch. It tells us about his faith, by faith Enoch, and it tells us that he pleased God. There are two sides to the same coin, and we're going to think about both of those. Firstly, he pleased God. That's the expression in the New Testament that is taken from the Old Testament, where in Genesis chapter 5 it says this of Enoch, he walked faithfully with God. It tells us that twice. Now that was written in the Hebrew, and when it was brought into the New Testament and translated into the Greek, that is, he pleased God. Walking is a metaphor. It speaks of something else. It speaks of a relationship with God. Walking has become very popular in the light of lockdown. We've been encouraged to take daily exercise, and many of us take a daily walk or jog or cycle. Before we do that, we have to decide which path we're going to walk on. Out behind us, there are all manner of paths, but if we're to walk with someone else, we need to decide on the path. But it's not just the path we need to decide on, it's the pace we need to walk at. I love walking quite fast, and I have to watch myself, because if I'm going to walk with someone else, I need to walk at their pace so that we can talk and have fellowship together. So path and pace, but also then we need to determine the place we're going to. Now, of course, on our daily walks, that's pretty obvious. The place is always we're returning to home. That's our destination. That's our goal. Well, that is what it was like with Enoch. He walked with God. He walked in his paths. He walked alongside him at his pace so that he could listen to him and learn from him. But also, he was walking in the same direction as God was pointing him. That was to the place where he would be with him one day in heaven. It is in this manner that he pleased God as he walked with him. But the New Testament speaks about his faith. Nowhere in the Old Testament does it tell us that he was a man of faith. Yet Hebrews does, because it's making the connection between faith in God and a life that is pleasing to God. It is faith that precedes and produces walking that is pleasing to God. Look at verse 6. It doesn't say without faith it's difficult to please God. It doesn't say without faith you have to work extraordinarily hard to please God. No, it says it is impossible to please God without faith. What Hebrews wants us to understand is the primacy of faith. It's why there's so many references in this chapter. So what sort of faith are we talking about? The faith that pleases God. Well, verse 6 tells us two things. Firstly, to believe that he exists. And secondly, to believe he rewards those who seek him. Let's just unpack this a bit. To believe he exists is to believe he is. There are many in our culture today who, if we ask them, do they believe in God, would say yes. The question, of course, is who is the God in whom they believe? In the book of James, it says this. You believe there is one God, good, even the demons believe that. Well, he's talking here in Hebrews 11 about faith in the one true living God, the God revealed to us in the scriptures. But there's more, isn't there? It is the God of the Old Testament. Hebrews 11 is full of Old Testament characters. And it is this God who we believe in. As Job says, did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews? You gave me life and showed me kindness. This is the God Enoch believes in. The God who is both creator and sustainer, but the God who we know personally, who we know his kindness and mercy towards us. And we know that fully in Jesus Christ. So there is even more, isn't there? The God who we read about in Hebrews chapter 1 just a few weeks ago, in Jesus, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, the one who through whom he created the universe, the one who sustains the universe, the one who provided purification for sins, has put us right with God through his death on the cross, forgiving us. It is this God that Enoch had faith in. And it is this God that the Hebrews are being commended to have faith in, not to drift away from. Now, believing in God isn't just believing that he exists like we believe the sun and the moon exist in a sort of bare set of facts. No, it's expressed by trusting in God, trusting in the Father of Jesus Christ. The language of verse 6 expresses it like this. We come to him. So have we come to Jesus? Are we believing in him? If we have, think what this involves. It means walking with him. We have been walking away from God, walking without him, walking in our own paths, at our own pace, going to our own places. But when we come to Jesus, when we come to trust him and have faith in him, we start walking in his path. We start walking alongside him, listening to him and learning from him. And we start walking towards our heavenly home, life with him. And by his Spirit, as we walk in these paths, he starts to change us and make us like him. The question is, are we still walking in those paths? Or have we drifted away? Have we drifted back to those old paths? Now, why might we do that? Well, the temptations are great. It may be the cost of walking with Jesus at work is too high. We experience mockery for our faith. We experience persecution for not being willing to agree to underhand tactics to win some business. So we drift. It may be disappointment with God. Maybe we've prayed and prayed for relief from the loneliness we experience, either because we're on our own or we're actually very lonely in our marriage. We've prayed and prayed and nothing has happened and we're disappointed with God, and so we drift away. It may be the attractiveness of life in the old paths, thinking as we see our friends there'll be more fun and greater pleasure. And so maybe we try to walk two paths for a while, but soon we find we're deserting walking with Jesus. Or it may be that our fears just overwhelm us and we lose sight of Jesus and we no longer walk in his paths. Enoch walked faithfully with God. I imagine this means he did so day by day until the day he was taken. For faith in God is a present continuous activity. Day by day, the challenge is, whose path will I walk in? Who will I walk with? Will I walk in my paths or will I walk in his paths? And that affects all the choices that we make, the things that we say, the things that we do, what we do with our money. I'm hoping to grow sunflowers this year. I'm saying hoping because they're taking time to germinate. And the reason I want to grow them is because I love their bright, sunny faces. But not just that, the way that sunflowers lock onto the sun in the morning and then they rotate with the path of the sun through the day. Day after day, they seek out the sun. It's a bit like what Enoch's life was like, locked onto God and following him day by day through all life's ups and downs. He persevered in the God who is faithful. He not only believed that he existed, but that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Later in the series, we're going to come to Moses, and in verse 26 of Hebrews 11, we read this: he was looking ahead to his reward. That reward, the reward of heaven. He was locked onto that destination, the time when he would be with God, the time for us when we will see Jesus face to face and know him fully, because we only know him partially now. He was locked on to that destination, the place of life with God in all its fullness. In fact, he himself, God himself, was the reward. In Psalm 34 that we read earlier, we read this: taste and see that the Lord is good. We know something of the Lord's goodness now through faith in Jesus. We know his kindness and mercy and grace and love. It is a taste of what is to come for those who keep walking with God. So how will we keep walking with God? Well, by exercising faith. Enoch must have faced many challenges in his immensely long life. I'm sure there were periods of ups and downs and all sorts of challenges that he faced. I'm sure his faith at times may have grown weak, and maybe that's the case for us, but he persevered in that faith, step by step, walking with God faithfully. I guess that's a challenge for us, isn't it? We may be feeling weak in our faith, lacking in confidence in Christ, worried about all manner of issues, fears overwhelming us. Well, Enoch is presented to us as a man of faith. We can be such people as well by exercising our faith, that is, placing our trust in Jesus and listening to him and learning from him day by day. May we be strengthened by his Holy Spirit to do that, to be disciplined in going for our daily walk, as it were, listening to his voice, coming to him, wanting to grow in faith. And as we desire to do that, as we seek to do that, so he is faithful. He is the author and perfecter of our faith, and he will strengthen us for all that lies ahead as we walk with him. May we do that more and more. Let me lead us in a prayer to finish. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Lord, thank you for the gift of faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that at whatever stage we're at in our faith, whether feeling strong or feeling weak, may we persevere. Would you be the one who does that work in us, and may that bring glory to you. Amen.
Glory, great things he hath done. So
brings us to the end of our time together this morning. I'm going to close with the words of a collect, one of those special prayers set by the Church of England for this Ascension Sunday. So let's pray together. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to that place where our Saviour Christ has gone before, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. And let us now close with the words of the grace.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ
and the love of God
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all,
now and forevermore.
Amen.
Thank you.